George Capanelli here. Welcome to another great edition of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts, authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features, interspersed with great music.
Our topic today, from the inside out, we're going to look at some of the things we know are necessary if we're going to weather this storm that appears to be brewing on the horizon, and some of the adjustments we can make in our thinking, our beliefs, our priorities, and above all, our individual actions. We've talked about this before, but today we're going to get a little closer to the heart of it. You'll also hear the first part of a conversation Sadina and I had with best-selling author and world-class intuitive Sonia Choquette on her book, Tune In, Let Your Intuition Guide You to Fulfillment and Flow.
We also have the music interludes today. It's Bob Dylan, and we're going to do From Time Out of Mind, Trying to Get to Heaven, and Make You Feel My Love. It's a sampler. Our special features, George and I will bring you another You've Got to Be Kidding segment. Sadina will do another Enlivened Aging Strategy. And George will close with one of his, hey, by George, provocative commentaries.
So, welcome to this place where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century. Trying to get to heaven, yeah. So there lies before us, if we choose, continual progress and happiness, knowledge and wisdom, but we must appeal as human beings to human beings. Remember our humanity and forget the rest. If we do, the way lies open to a new paradise. This quote from Albert Einstein leads us directly into our topic today, From the Inside Out. We are at a challenging time, some say critical time in our history. The battle currently underway between the left and the right to determine whose philosophy will shape the next chapter in American history is heating up. Some suggest that what's at stake is democracy itself and the way of life that the majority of us as citizens and the world at large has used as a beacon of hope and a reminder of what is possible when human freedom, ingenuity, passion, and compassion come together.
This is shaping up to be a real battle, and it rages on and continues to impact more and more of us, especially those of us who the world called older Gen Xers, boomers, elders. There are those who are calling for us to go out into the streets to protest and demonstrate our solidarity behind those who are trying to protect our rights and to prevent others who clearly do not have our best interests at heart from solidifying their ill-intentioned aims.
From our perspective, there's a lot of truth in these concerns about the well-being of our democracy and our way of life. Until recently, America provided extraordinary opportunities to people of all races, creeds, and colors and ages to pursue their dreams while providing sufficient support and protection for those who were less fortunate, particularly the young, the disadvantaged, and the elderly. So we believe it is time to raise our collective voices and proactively protect our right to have an essential voice in determining the future. If not, there's a really good chance that our future is going to be determined by some other folks who may not have our best interests at heart.
All right. This is not a pretty picture. It doesn't look that good. And it's very clear to us that if those of us who do not want to see this noble experiment in democracy end, and who do not want to live under the rule of a few, oligarchy, plutocracy, call it what you will, we must first go inside again. We talked about it last week, about beliefs and knowing, and respond to the wisdom that issues from our hearts and that speaks the language of greater consciousness, of unity, and as we said last week, from a deeper knowing, not a programmed belief system. If we don't do this, then all of the protesting in the world will accomplish little. Yes, we can disrupt some things and make a lot of noise, but will all of this reality be successful in returning this nation to a path of sanity and stability?
We don't think so. Instead, we believe we have to be wise enough to remember that life is first and foremost an inside-out job, and that our primary and first responsibility is to identify those places that are incomplete and wounded within ourselves. And secondly, to do what we can to make right our relationship with ourselves, to heal those places within ourselves before we attempt to make right our relationship with the world. Yes, first we have to address those places that are boundaried by limited beliefs and entrapped and in habituated behaviors. We have to put down the burden of regret, of unfinished and unfulfilled, that drag us down.
You know, the word wounds, George, really was a good one that you spoke to. Because look, if we're our inner wounds are being outplaying in the world, just look at the world and then you'll know how wounded we are individually, yeah, and collectively.
Yeah.
So, in brief, we believe the road to collective sanity, stability, to joy, and genuine satisfaction must pass directly through a focus on our efforts to develop individual, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health and balance. This calls for true self-realization with a capital S, not just dogma or beliefs that we've come to accept. This must be our first priority, and if we want to play a significant part in shaping the future, we have to do this now and with urgency and a commitment to love and truth, but not haste. In this way, and only in this way, and above all, before we go out to march or take our positions behind the barricades, before we try once again to change the world, our first and always our best hope of being effective is to first do this work of raising our own consciousness. Change the inner first, in love, not hate, not fear.
So that's our hope, that each of us, and particularly those of us who are in the second half of life, those of us who we refer to as those who weren't born yesterday, those of us who have stumbled and gotten up, who have failed and then gone on to achieve breakthroughs, will have the courage to explore those places inside of us where prejudice may be hiding, where fear of the other and the unknown may be present. Our hope is that each of us will be willing to heal the emotional wounds that may be blinding us and stand in the way of our expressing our true compassion, empathy, and love for each other and ourselves. And above all hope, our hope is that we will remember that each and every one of us who are part of this thing called humanity have the opportunity to work together to make a difference.
Bob Dylan.
I've been walking through the middle of nowhere, trying to get to heaven before they close the door. When I was in Missouri, they would not let me be. I had to leave that in a hurry. I only saw what they let me see. swinging on chains. When you think that you've lost everything.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio. Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
Hi, it's George and Sedina here, and welcome to Conversations with the Wisdom Keepers with Sonia Choquette, Wisdom Keeper and author. Sonia Choquette is a globally celebrated and dynamic spiritual teacher, sixth sensory consultant, enchanting storyteller, and transformational visionary guide, known for her delightful humor and skill in quickly shifting people out of difficulty and into flow. She's the author of 19 international best-selling books on intuitive awakening, personal growth, creativity, and transformational leadership, including the New York Times bestseller, The Answer is Simple. Sonia is inspiring a global conscious movement around the truth that we, as humans, are divine beings endowed with six senses to guide us through life, and insists that we must activate and rely on our innate sixth sense in order to make the most authentic, well-informed, healthy, and soul-satisfying decisions possible. Her work has been established in over 40 countries and in 37 languages, making her one of the most widely read authors and experts in her field in the world.
Quite a impressive assemblage of credentials, Sonia.
Say so.
Welcome to the Conversations with Wisdom Keepers, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. So, 19 international best-selling books. There's probably more, plus your audio and all the rest of it. In many ways, we know that you're also kind of still in full stride, as they say. So we could talk for days or weeks about your work and still only make a small dent. And unfortunately, at least today, our time's somewhat limited. So what we'd like to do is, take a tour of your work in some ways. But before we do, we'd love to give listeners who haven't had the pleasure of experience with you before, as well as those who have and haven't been with you in a while, a chance to learn a little bit more about the woman behind the work. Is that okay with you for our first segment?
Of course. I'd be thrilled to let people know who has all this opinion.
obviously, intuition plays such a critical part in so much of your work. When did you sense or know that you had the intuitive abilities that you have?
Well, George, I never realized I had intuitive abilities. I realized other people didn't. That was the way it worked for me. It's like, when did you realize you can see? I have lived a life that doesn't have an experience of being disconnected from my sixth sense. It's always been a central part of my experiential awareness in life, and I would attribute that mostly to the environment I grew up in, because I believe we all come in with a fully functioning sixth sense that is either nurtured or ignored. And in my home environment, it was not only nurtured, it was central. It was not the sixth sense. It was the first sense. Uh-huh. It was the most important sense. My mother was the one who nurtured us in this way. And she was, I think it was a couple of things. She was a prisoner of war and lost her family in World War II as a child. And so she was thrust into a scenario that required she use all her senses for survival. Mm-hmm. She also lost her hearing in that same experience. So she had to tune into something deeper than just what the outer world was giving her for guidance. And essentially those circumstances really activated and accelerated her intuition, and it worked very well for her. So when she married my father and started having, you know, I'm one of seven kids, the central message in my youth was, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what other people say, you have an inner guidance system in your heart. Trust your vibes. And so I learned to grow with that. That's how my life and my vibes cultivated into who I am today.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm the oldest of eight kids, so I completely get the large family. What excites you the most, Sonia, about the work that you do?
Well, what excites me is that because the world is so chaotic right now, people are realizing they cannot use just their five senses to be comfortably informed. Right. They have to go deeper. And so they are beginning to reach inside to their heart, which is an intelligent organ, the source of your sixth sense. And what excites me is how quickly people can awaken their intuition if they have the right guidance and mentoring, which is what I'm devoted to, and how quickly their lives can reset and get back into flow when they do.
Right. Thank you.
When did you know that the gift that you had, or what was indeed just your first sense, when did you know that that would be something that would lead you to a path, a career, a focus in your life?
Well, when I was a kid, I was the one who could do what we called the readings. I could read the energy. So even when I was 10, 11, and 12, my mother's friends were coming to ask me for guidance because she said, "Oh, I'm too close. You're my friend. Ask my daughter." And I realized by the time I was 13, 14, that people were really disconnected, seriously disconnected from their heart. So at 15, I taught my first class.
Wow.
I did my kitchen, and I had three students. I had a woman who I'd read for, her brother who was a truck driver, and his girlfriend who was actually his mistress, which I found rather shocking because he was married, but she was his local mistress. And the three of them came to my first class for 6 weeks, once a week for 6 weeks. And it was really successful. Uh-huh. And I loved it. And from that point forward, I realized that I had two skills, sort of like I can do the fishing for you, but I'd love to teach you to fish.
Mm.
And that's when I started. I really devoted myself more to teaching, even though I do have the skills of doing personal consulting.
Right. Well, I can attest to, I was in the back of a room at one point at a conference where we were speaking as well, and I got to hear you, and George and I were there, and you definitely have the knack and the gift for communicating this material. Just amazing. So what, can you just tell us quickly, what is it, your definition of an intuitive? We have about a minute here left before we sign off on this segment.
Well, an intuitive is someone who knows your heart is an intelligent organ that can inform and guide you, and not just that you feel it, but you give it voice and importance in making decisions in your life. Mm. And you let the other senses support your heart, your authentic self, your inner voice, rather than attack it. And when you allow that synergy to come together, you get into an exponential, expanded sense of flow, and you begin to live your life the way you're designed to live.
Mm. That's all, huh?
Fantastic.
Well, one more thing, it's natural. So you're coming to your natural design, and it's a healing. It's right. Comfortable healing.
Beautiful.
It's so wonderful, you know, both the simplicity and the clarity of your definition. And, you know, I'm sure the listener, especially those who don't know your work, begin to understand why you're so effective at it. So we're talking to Sonia Choquette. We're in a multiple-part conversation. and we'll be back shortly.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
George and Ellen back here on your Age Nation Radio magazine show for this date. And getting back to the Sonia Choquette interview about intuition, you know, I liked when I was listening to the first part, just thinking about, well, what is intuition? And then at the very end, you get a definition from her about knowing the heart's intelligence. And I don't think that's a popular or well-known definition. And I think it's an appropriate definition because it's not just about being psychic. It's not about reading somebody's mind. It's about, as she said, living a natural form of life, which is designed for the heart's intelligence. And, you know, it keeps getting back to, if I may, because you know me, I'm on the love kick these days over weeks over weeks, you know. It's about the more that you love and expand in the heart center and the frequency goes out, I think the more expanded your attunement is outside and inside to everything. And that's a definition of intuition according to her.
Yeah, and it was also interesting when she said, when I asked about, you know, when did you know that you had this gift? And she said, what tuned me in was the fact that I realized that a number of other people did not have it, because for me, it was so natural, so real in so many ways. And I think that's true for a lot of people, especially when they're young. Uh-huh. You know, we have all these gifts that are ours, and they're natural to us, and we're not aware that other people don't experience what we experience.
Well, you know, and she brought up her mother and the allowance, and she's reading for people when she's 10 or 11 years old because she had a skill that was not limited by her parents' belief system. Yeah. That squashes that stuff, particularly when you get into the areas sometimes of religions, thinking that somebody who has that particular skill is a witch or has supernatural powers that should be squashed. So it's compressed, it's made wrong, the belief system eventually gets into the child, into the teenager, and then where are they at? They're back into normalcy or some common thread of not having that intuitive skill.
And it's also interesting, you know, especially we were dealing last week with beliefs, you know, and one of her points of guidance is, and she got from her mother, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, sometimes what other people say, what you hear, even what you see, you have to trust that place. And you talked about it before. You have to trust that place that is your heart.
All right.
You know, and the intelligence of your heart.
So I'll use one of her other words, awareness, deeper awareness. Be aware of your heart, of your love. Here's Bob. What's he saying?
Something about make you feel my love, I think. See?
Yeah,
it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So here we are again. You got to be kidding. We look at the items, some absurd, some and ridiculous, and some uplifting. We got some good stuff today. You know, a week or so ago, President Obama fulfilled his commitment and vetoed the XL pipeline bill. Of course, there's a lot of dancing going on, so we don't know which way it's going to finally go down. But if you want this assault on both the environment and the consciousness of America to be a victory, we suggest you keep up the pressure.
And of course, we've pointed out the work of Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton, himself a Republican billionaire, we talked about last week, which continues to stand out as a confirmation of the fact that higher taxes on the rich rather than sabotaging economic growth is a solution that we need to follow up with.
Yeah, they're doing great work in Minnesota. It's really terrific, you know. Just a small piece that most people don't pay much attention to, but the Sierra Club reported that there was a rare fox that was spotted in Yosemite for the first time in a century. A wildlife camera in Yosemite's backcountry captured one of less than 50 remaining Sierra Nevada red foxes. You know, for people that are cynical, it's not such a big deal, but for those people who care about life on the planet, it's just a little ray of hope, a little sign of enthusiasm, you know?
Yeah, because as we know, there's been great species extinction from a lot of the things we're doing, and we don't want to be part of that. So
yeah,
maybe the fox coming back is a sign that we can recover. And a couple of other things that can boost your happiness after you're 50 years old from a site called Boomerly. And it's get in shape. You got to exercise and move the body. Learn to meditate. I put that at the top of the list because that allows all the other things to happen. Make friends. Open your blinds.
Well, wait a second. Before you get to those, you know, those are three things actually that take a reasonable amount of attention and energy and focus. They're not so effortless, but they pay off really big time in a lot of other ways.
Yeah.
What else is on your list?
Well, I like to open your blinds, you know. We don't get enough sun. In fact, as Sedina has talked about in one of the Alive and Aging segments, it's about sunning yourself, and that's a source of vitamin D.
Yeah.
And so get out there, and even you can stare at the sun a little bit. Start with 10 seconds and 15 and 20 and watch what happens. And what else? Smile on your face. That's kind of a no-brainer. But sometimes, you know, the rain comes down and there's no sun. It's the rhythms and flow of life.
And, you know, the other day I was trying to – we were doing some videos, and I realized that there are times I really have trouble figuring out how to smile. You know, it's amazing. Such a natural thing. What else on your
list? Get in front of the mirror and take your hands and pull your cheeks up, you know. Well, breathing consciously is a big one. I mean, I've been into the Kundalini yoga, into the various forms of rebirthing and breath work. It changed my life. Breathe consciously, breathe connected every once in a while, stop everything, breathe deeply, and watch that's your energy. You know, you can go without water for a long time, food with less, and you can't go without the breath very long.
Yeah. What about is gratitude on your list?
It's at the top. Gratitude and forgiveness.
Yeah.
In fact, the three ascension attitudes that I learned a long time ago was love, praise, and gratitude. Those three together, they'll wake you up.
Uh-huh.
And anything else on the list?
Well, there's do something good for others, which is you know, it sounds like a cliche, but it always opens my heart when I'm able to. Even a small thing, you know, get up and move regularly. I mean, give yourself some energetic, and I know you're all going to hate this, but eat a piece of dark chocolate, you know, every once in a while. It's good for the chemical composition of your body, especially if it's over 72%.
Yeah, now chocolate's been vindicated. It's got a lot of benefits, okay? So let's not worry about the, you know, natural sugar in it or organic chocolate sugar. Those are all good things. You know, I want to go back to do something good for others because Bob Dylan is going to come back on here. One of my favorite songs of all time is You Gotta Serve Somebody. And so you got to define the somebody. And what we have is this conflict. We've talked about it often. Between the left and the right, you know, the two-party system, some is serving very few, and others want it to serve everyone. And, you know, if it serves at least more than yourself, that's a good sign. But how about something you do or an act or a state of mind that serves a larger collective? Consider that.
Yeah.
All right. Bob Dylan?
Yeah, let's go back to Make You Feel My Love.
And the stars appear. Thank you.
Nation Radio. Love, laugh, enjoy life.
George and Alan back. It's segment four, and it's time for another Enlivened Aging Strategy.
Hi, I'm Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategies, simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging Strategy is self-confidence. The word confidence comes from the Latin confidere, which means fidelity to the self. Confidence is about devotion to the sacred place within our hearts that brings us back to the same center that is in all things, back to our goodness and to our oneness with life. It's easy to fight for our limitations when we're feeling less than happy or well, or when things don't go our way. It's also easy to give in to the fearful part of ourselves that wants to give up or wade in negativity. That is precisely the time to go to that sacred place in our hearts and remind ourselves to breathe, to relax into the goodness and the love that we essentially are. Confidence may come from what someone else tells us, but it's maintained by what we tell ourselves. We increase our confidence every time we say or do what we once thought was impossible, and when we appreciate ourselves for our talents and our beauty and individuality. When we're grateful for our lives, our health, our relationships, and all the good we do have, the fear subsides and the truth is revealed, that we are each a part of something much greater that supports our every breath. In our hearts, beneath any confusion or agitation, is the constant state of love, always present within to encompass us in its embrace. Appreciation has life energy to transform our bodies, minds, and our world. Every being thrives on appreciation. Plants and animals respond positively when they're seen and appreciated. When we give ourselves acceptance of our limitations and appreciation of our strengths, our whole being receives healing, balancing hormones, and the body turns on its own self-repair mechanisms. So every word we speak, everything we believe builds our consciousness and makes us who we are. We are as unlimited as we say we are. Make a choice to be happy for no reason each day. Be confident in the incomparable person that you are. Breathe into your heart often and smile in gratitude for the goodness in and all around you. Radiate your love confidently from your heart to other beings in your world. And remember, include self-confidence in your Aging Consciously backpack. Try these tools. And for more, go to EnlivenedAging, AGEING.com, and many blessings.
That's the first part of Highlands by Bob Dylan. We'll hear a little bit more in just a bit. So we've been talking about the value of doing things from the inside out, about the need to put our individual houses in order before we attempt to order the house of the world. So let's take this a little further. Let's return to the quote by the good Mr. Einstein that opened the program today. There lies before us, if we choose, continual progress in happiness, knowledge, and wisdom. But we must appeal as human beings to human beings, remember our humanity, and forget the rest. If we do, the way lies open to a new paradise. So one of the first things I notice about this quote is that it reminds us that what lies ahead, what lies before us, is something that we must ultimately choose. So right from the start, we're told that positive, constructive choice requires the exercise of our own responsibility and discernment. The second thing that's obvious is that Einstein is suggesting that our best choice is continual progress in happiness, knowledge, and wisdom, not cynicism, doubt, confusion, or anything else, but continual progress. Notice that happiness, knowledge, and wisdom are three different ingredients in his formula for a positive future. And this is important because a lot of people in our contemporary world think that knowledge and wisdom are the same thing, and the truth is they're not. Knowledge plus experience, the hard-won kind, where sleeves get rolled up and a little sweat forms on the forehead, where some real risks are taken, some stumbles made, and lessons learned, lead eventually to this thing called wisdom. And wisdom, for the most part, and although not always, issues from those who are older. The third clue that Einstein gives us is that we must appear as human beings to other human beings. So this means that we must first remember, and then we must demonstrate that we are human beings. This means developing our understanding, compassion, sensitivity, and caring for others. We must always remember that no matter what the color, beliefs, habits, practices, levels of education, cultural upbringing, and economic status of others, they are part of our species, and more deeply and more often we remember this, the more we find that we have much more in common with other people than we have that are different. The fourth clue is to forget the rest. Past histories, misunderstandings, the superficial distances that seem to happen between us. Because unless we do that, then the way ahead isn't open to a new paragraph, a new paradise, a new understanding. What a message, what a clear set of instructions from one who many believe was one of the most intelligent beings to ever occupy the planet. Amazing, isn't it? Just like a friend of mine often says, this prescription for a better world has been hiding in plain sight all of these years. There's another quote, I think, those of us in the second half of life, those of us who recognize that the truth path forward is to work from the inside out. And it comes from the old African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, together. While this approach may take a little more time and provide those of us who are intent on subverting the will of our founders a little more opportunity to perpetuate their fraud, in the end, it's the best prescription. For to go together is wonderful. When we exercise collaboration and cooperation, when we agree to hold each other accountable, when we agree to serve that which is the greater good, then we will be demonstrating another wise being's recommendation. It's the poet Rumi who once said, everything is about loving and not loving. So in this age of struggle between the common good and the need for the power of the few, let's remember this. Let's remember to be the best that we can and play the best and the highest music that can in the universe. It's love.
Love songs. L-O-V-E. I keep saying it. I'm going to repeat it. The law of vibrational energy. That will set you free. All right. More next week. We'll take a deeper look at things that support you in living the life you were born to live. We have the second part of a great conversation that Sedina and George had with Sonia Choquette or Choquette about intuition. And George and Sedina want to share something with you.
Yeah, we'll be in San Diego next week at the Town and Country Hotel and Conference Center for the Integrated Health Conference, Saturday at 6:30, Sunday at 2. Go to Age Nation and learn about the free Global Digital Elder Core Summit and the Navigating Your Future series and the Mile High series. All great stuff. Thanks.
How about some Bob Dylan to go
I love
here?
It. Gentle and fair, honeysuckle blooming in the wildwood air, bluebells blazing where the Aberdeen waters flow. When my heart's in the highlands,
I'm gonna go there when I feel good enough to go.
The best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio. Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age